From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And today we're going to be talking about a remarkable run of stories published by or in cooperation with The Invisible Institute. That's the name of a nonprofit news organization based on the south side of Chicago. Later in the program, we'll talk with Johannes LaCour, who reported and wrote the Institute's investigative podcast, You Didn't See Nothing, about a racist beating in Chicago in 1997. Earlier this year, it was honored with both a Pulitzer Prize and a Peabody Award. After that, we'll hear about another Invisible Institute investigation, this one in collaboration with Illinois Public Media, into how Champaign police officers handled domestic violence reports. But first, Missing in Chicago is the name of a years-long investigation into hundreds of thousands of missing persons cases in the city. It's a problem that disproportionately affects Black Chicagoans, and in particular, Black women and girls. And behind every number, every case, there's a human story. You can get a small sense of that pain in this introductory video for the project.
Well, what I want everybody to remember about her is her energy, her smile. And she had that type of spirit where you sit down and just kick it and just shoot the breeze and just talk about anything.
It's a bond between a mother and a daughter. Your child is missing. It's nothing good. You know, you be thinking, what is this? What is this? Where they at? Every moment you thinking, where are they? Where are they? Where are they?
I remember this one particular day, her car broke down. She lost her job all in the same day. And it was like everything just came at her all at once.
Missing in Chicago is the work of a collaboration between the Invisible Institute, where Trina Reynolds Tyler is data director, and City Bureau, where Sarah Conway is senior reporter and special projects manager. Earlier this year, they too were honored with a Pulitzer Prize, this one for local reporting. I spoke with Trina and Sarah back in June, about a month after that award announcement. Because our conversation's on tape, we're not taking calls this hour, but you can let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. So I wanted to begin by asking each of you to tell us a bit about your roles in this work and what inspired you to investigate this issue. Trina, I'd like to begin with you.
So this project comes out of Beneath the Surface, a machine learning and narrative justice project that I lead that investigates the intersections between gender-based violence and policing. We parse through police misconduct records from the year 2011 to 2015, identified 54 allegations of misconduct related to missing persons, but it was an issue I was already quite interested in when I was training as a data scientist at the Human Rights Data Analysis Group in San Francisco. The first document I ever scraped was a FOIA related to missing persons cases. And so once we got those initial findings of those police, you know, those allegations of misconduct, I reached out to Sarah Conway, maybe in June 2021. We sat at Build Coffee, and I told her about my dream of, you know, going deep into this issue in a way that really focused on survivors, on the stories of people in connection to systems, institutions of accountability.
Sarah, can you take it from there? What was that conversation like? What was your introduction to this work like from your perspective?
Well, I had been for a very long time interested in doing stories and journalism that really centered the experience of communities. I think both Trina and I, we found a connection with one another and a similar heart to doing investigative reporting that is really rooted in connecting with impacted families, understanding how they have moved throughout the criminal justice system. And in this case with missing persons, specifically police, I had been drawn to, you know, Trina's work with Beneath the Surface and Invisible Institute's mission because I had seen through my own reporting on women in Illinois prisons, pregnant folks who are at Cook County Jail, how much gender influences how you move throughout carceral systems. And so when we connected, we were both extremely curious about how this issue of missing persons impacted Black Chicagoans and specifically Black girls and women in the city.
So, Sarah, as you begin reporting on this, what these missing cases, missing person cases in particular, I wonder what stood out to you? What were some of the early findings that I'm sure there were, you know, many heartbreaking stories you came across, but talk about some of the early findings you had.
So it's really interesting. I think that the project, what is really groundbreaking about it is that we merged narrative justice with data science. You know, Trina had brought up the 54 allegations of misconduct around missing persons. When we went in and coded those and looked at, you know, what exactly was there, we pretty quickly saw that police were denying and delaying families reporting their loved ones missing. We also saw that police had claimed that people had returned home when they hadn't. And we saw a pattern of abusive language and behavior from police officers with families who felt that they were being discriminated against because their loved one was Black. And so that initial data work, you know, showed up when we started connecting with families. It really mirrored what families were telling us. And so we knew that from the misconduct complaints that we needed to talk to families. And then what families told us often reflected what were in those initial complaints.
I think what was most shocking, just piggybacking off of Sarah, Trina speaking, was that, you know, law enforcement had prematurely closed missing persons cases, naming that this person had been located and they were safe and that they were not a victim or offender of a crime, when in fact they had not been located and they were a victim of a crime. Desiree Robinson, for example, in 2016, 16-year-old girl who was being sex trafficked at the time that the detective wrote in a report that she had been located and was safe. 4 days later, on Christmas Eve, she was found murdered. And so it really called to question whether Chicago police were looking for her in the first place and what kinds of actions law enforcement are taking to find people and what kinds of accountability systems exist when they obscure information, when they lie in their reports.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the Pulitzer Prize winning series Missing in Chicago, about the fact that a significantly disproportionate share of Chicago's missing people have been young Black women and girls, and what authorities failed to do about that. This work was a collaboration between Trina Reynolds-Tyler of the Invisible Institute and Sarah Conway of City Bureau, who are with us now. Talk about you mentioned that in the story, it talks about how the fact that this was one of the last paper records in the Chicago Police Department. There were so many cases that were incorrectly coded. I don't remember the exact figure, but it was well north of 99% where there was no violence involved is how they were. Or it wasn't sort of like a person came to harm, when clearly, as you said, a lot of these people had been murdered or had never returned home. How do you actually take these paper records, all this data that you had scraped or obtained through other means, Trina, and you mentioned machine learning, artificial intelligence is a term that gets thrown around here. Walk us through how you go from that to actual, you know, coming up with stories out of this.
Right. So we have a repository of police misconduct records in Illinois because of the Calvin versus City of Chicago lawsuit, which deemed that all records related to police misconduct are public information. And what we felt was important was to parse through that data, because I think a lot of times when we're talking about policing, we think about the sensationalized things. We think about someone getting shot 16 times, you know, some of the things, you know, a church-going social worker, Angina Young, who experienced a search warrant of her home while she was naked. We're not always thinking about the everyday experiences of people. And so it was really important that we started with police misconduct records, because we're looking at narratives that connect people across space and time, even though they've never met to discuss or corroborate or make up anything. They're just simply telling their same story at the hands of different officers. Now, speeding forward into diving into missing persons cases, we introduce another couple data sets. We look at the missing persons data from Chicago Police. We look at the Cook County Medical Examiner's death data. We look at the 911 calls that are made. You know, we're looking at the sheriff's missing persons project data, and we're seeing the names of people, and we're also looking at, you know, media reports that ultimately tell us what really happened to them. And for example, you know, when we're looking at the sheriff's office, they had this, you know, in the end of 2022, they were like, oh, we finally reunited this woman's body with her daughter. It's been 11 years that this case has been open. But the sheriff's office knew, based on their underlying records, that Chicago police had lied when, you know, Chicago police said in an underlying report that this woman was located safe, even though at the time she was a Jane Doe in the morgue in 2014. And so it was really important for us to pull together lots of different data sets, pieces of information to see how they lined up with each other in order to really identify the gaps there. In the case of missing persons, you know, what we see as underlying issues, crimes related to it in the data, homicide, sexual assault, and kidnapping. But as you noticed, as you mentioned earlier, many of these cases are not labeled as relating to the actual crimes that occurred when the missing person were the crimes that were identified when the missing person was found.
You know, one of the things that we found when we dug into over 20 years of Chicago Police Department missing persons data is that there were only, you know, out of the more than 300,000 cases that existed approximately, there were only 300 missing persons cases that had been relabeled as criminally related to, you know, crimes like homicide, sexual assault, and kidnapping. We found that there were only 10 homicides associated with missing persons cases in CPD's data. But when we went through using, you know, medical examiner data, autopsy reports, homicide data, and news reports, we were able to identify as reporters 11 additional homicides that were labeled as not criminal in nature, even though they were actually associated with a homicide case in CPD's data. And I think that kind of points to that the Chicago Police Department, their missing persons data as it exists right now, obscures some really complex issues around crime and violence in the city and how they're associated, specifically when we're talking about gender-based violence and how it manifests in the city for Black women and girls, who we know through Dorothy Tucker's reporting make up 1 in 3 crime victims in the city.
When they're a much smaller percentage of the population overall, absolutely. So I wonder, so we're coming to the end of our time together. There's so much more to get into here, and people can, we'll have a link to your work on our website if people want to read more. But what has been the response from the city in terms of accountability? Have there been changes or responses? I noticed the Chicago Police Department seemed to not be very interested in talking with you for this reporting. Yeah.
So, you know, throughout our reporting, we reached out to Chicago police more than a handful of times, and they didn't really get back to us until really late in the game. And they said, like, we investigate cases equally across race, sex, zip code. But that was nearly impossible for them to even know themselves, because when we look at their officer arrival data between the I think between 2017 and 2021, they're missing much of their response time data, so they can't even evaluate themselves. But as far as like elected official level we have gotten a nice response at the state level. The Illinois Task Force for Missing and Murdered Chicago Women and Girls have they had us present at their task force. They've spoken to us quite a lot about our findings. Alderwoman Stephanie Coleman introduced a resolution in order to get a hearing on the issue at the public safety committee level of city council. And the Office of the Inspector General has identified understanding CPD's competence around missing persons as a potential project in the year 2024. So we've gotten a lot of elected official, you know, response as well. But as on the community level, folks like COCO, folks like MOVE, families, literal sources that we spoke to, they have felt deeply impacted by our reporting and have described, you know, this reporting, giving them space and room to talk more about what happened to their loved ones because they had lost faith in the media, in the institution, our government, in general, after what occurred to their loved one.
I think that there's been some healthy skepticism from families about what will come from this, but there is an openness when we talk to sources who are in the story that they have a level of optimism that, the city and the state is going to act on this issue. And though they can't bring back their loved ones, that there could be some common sense improvements, like, for instance, digitizing CPD's missing persons form, the last paper-based form that they have, to save lives in the future.
Yeah. Sarah Conway and Trina Reynolds Tyler, thank you so much for being with us and sharing this remarkable work with us. And again, congratulations on the Pulitzer. What great recognition. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much.
The series is called Missing in Chicago. We'll have a link to it on our website, which is 21stshow.org. More reporting, more award-winning reporting from the Invisible Institute coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st Show. Please stay with us.